Good morning. I'm Donna Quinn, and for the next half hour, you'll be listening to Talk of Our Towns. The Confluence Project. What is it? It is six public art installations at significant points along the Columbia River system. Today, we're going to find out about the exciting projects which have already been completed and the ones which are in progress at this point. From Colin Fogarty. He is the director of the Confluence Project. Hi, Colin. I'm glad to have you here today.
Thank you so much for having us, Donna.
Absolutely. What you're doing is really exciting. And we also have in the studio Courtney Yilk. Courtney is the outreach coordinator for the Confluence Project. Hi, Courtney.
Hello. It's lovely to be here.
Yes. Astoria is a beautiful place to be, and we are thrilled you're in town today. Before we start talking about the history of the Confluence Project, what's happening now, what will be happening in the future, why it is important to all of us who live here in the Pacific Northwest, let's learn a little bit about Colin Fogarty. Please tell us about yourself.
Well, thank you very much for this opportunity. I really appreciate this. You know, I love Astoria because I've been out here so much as first as a public radio reporter for Oregon Public Broadcasting, and that's how I became a friend of KMUN. And I remember being here in 2004 in the year-long countdown to the bicentennial of the Lewis and Clark bicentennial celebration, and I remember filing a story from this very room for NPR back in 2004. And so I've always had a love for the Columbia River, the history of the Columbia River and the Lewis and Clark expedition, but also I've always been interested in a more inclusive history of the Columbia River. It's not just Lewis and Clark. It's not just the tribes. It's all of it together. In a sense, I've always been about confluence, but I never quite articulated it that way. So I was a reporter for 13 years, and then for 5.5 years after that, I was a public radio editor for the Northwest News Network. And as you know, KMUN is part of the Northwest News Network, which is a collaboration of public radio stations throughout Oregon, Washington, and Idaho. So when the job came open late last year to become executive director of the Confluence Project, I really felt like I had spent my career telling and or helping other people tell stories on the radio, and this was a chance to help tell stories in the landscape. And so that's how I came to the Confluence Project, where we are in the process of building things, but we're also in the process of building our organization, and that's what's fascinating to me.
You're still telling stories, Colin. And Courtney Yilk, please tell us about yourself.
Well, I was fortunate to be born into a family that loved to pile in the station wagon and go on trips, hit the road. We moved around a lot when I was young, and my parents always took the time to hit the road and show us the new places of where we had relocated. And it didn't take me long to fall in love with these stories. Every place had its new stories, and they all seemed to be tied to pretty old places. At least those were the ones that intrigued me the most. That led to a career in museum education, a good place to find rich stories and great audiences that want to engage. Moving to the Northwest, I feel very fortunate to be working with Confluence Project because I get to get outside four walls and have this beautiful, incredible river system, which is so rich with stories and wonderful communities to engage with and start highlighting those stories. And
so both of you are involved with telling stories and almost with it sounds to me like the Confluence Project is almost a series of like six mini museums along 438 miles of the Columbia River system. Is that kind of?
I think that's a really good way of putting it. I mean, because they are, if you take Cape Disappointment, which is the local site here, and we're coming up on the 10-year anniversary of the Cape Disappointment project. That happened in 2005. It was completed in 2006, but it was dedicated in 2005. If you look at it, there are six separate elements that tell a larger story, the most prominent of which is the fish cleaning table that Maya Lin built. And in it is etched the Chinook creation story. So it's literally a fish cleaning table that that is a working thing. It, you know, you can go out and catch a salmon on the Columbia River or in the ocean, and you can clean it and treat it right there. There's a hose and everything. And while you're doing it, you can read the Chinook fish cleaning, the Chinook creation story, as you're looking at Saddle Mountain, which is part of the whole creation story. So her object with that was to connect people with the river and its history, and what we like to call the confluence of history, cultures, and ecology of the Columbia River system. And, you know, as you know from the Vietnam Veterans Memorial, Maya Lin's style, I mean, it's technically called minimalist, but the basic point is that her object is to disappear, and that the art itself helps you find your own way. In other words, there's no wrong reaction, or there's no right reaction necessarily to her art. It is what you bring to it and what you get out of it.
So the Confluence Project itself started just as the bicentennial of Lewis and Clark was happening here.
That's right.
And so that was where the idea was born. And then it involved tribes, it involved educators, it involved people in historians, and then this group of people who said, let's create a Confluence Project, decided to engage Maya Lin, the renowned artist of the Vietnam Veterans Memorial in Washington, D.C., to be the artist for 6 sites along the river. Is that correct?
That's exactly right. Yeah, and what happened was, the way I like to put it is that it was a sort of a confluence of people coming together in the same way, that there were 2 separate groups. One was sort of centered in Vancouver, Washington, and they wanted to celebrate, or rather mark and commemorate, the Lewis and Clark Bicentennial, but in a way that wasn't just a confetti-filled party. In a way that was meaningful and lasting, and that created something that could last 200 years from now. Separately, there was a group led by Anton Minthorn, who was the council chair of the Confederated Tribes of the Umatilla Reservation. And he was really, there was a debate among tribes about what to do and how to address and how to be involved, and even whether to be involved with the bicentennial of the Lewis and Clark expedition. And he felt strongly that there was a tribal story to be told. There was a native perspective that needed to be included in the conversation. And he felt very strongly about that. But separately, he was also really asking a much deeper and broader question, and that is, what is a legacy? What are we here for, and why? And he, you know, there are a lot of bumper stickers about 7 generations from now, and I think there are products of, you know, 7 generations cleaning things. But this idea of the things we do today have an effect on people 7 generations from now, and that's what we should be thinking about, he takes that very seriously. And so when the two groups got together, of course, a lot of tribal elders are veterans, so they are very, very familiar with Maya Lin. And this group in Vancouver also felt like, we need someone on the scale of Maya Lin to do this art. And so they went to Maya Lin, and initially I think she was skeptical, but over time, the way she puts it now is, I only said yes when I understood who was asking. And that was the tribes of the Northwest.
And so confluence, the bringing together of, I don't know how you describe that word. When people ask you, Courtney, what does confluence mean to you? What do you say?
It's the merging of, for our purposes, interests and passions and purpose.
Right, which come together. And so this group, which named itself the Confluence Project, then you identified 6 sites along the Columbia River, which were powerfully important sites with rich in history and stories. And so then Maya Lin was engaged to create art at each of these sites. So let's talk about the 4 sites that have been completed.
Yeah, so the first one is at Cape Disappointment, which, you know, from a marketing perspective is the worst name ever. But it is a wonderful, wonderful park. And as you know, it is a regional attraction. Parenthetically, it's named Cape Disappointment because John Muir's, I just read this recently, was so disappointed that he couldn't find the Columbia River. And that was before Lewis and Clark were there. So when they got there, they knew it had already been described as Cape Disappointment, but to them that was their ultimate destination. And so when you go there today, there's a boardwalk. And what I love about Cape Disappointment, and I know we want to talk about all 4 sites, but let me talk about one feature about Cape Disappointment. There are 2 paths that run parallel and are almost divergent. And on One path is almost like a grid or a spreadsheet that William Clark developed over the course of the expedition. And it was a listing of all the significant places that they saw and how far they were from the mouth of the Missouri River, how far they were from this, and which side of the river they were. And it was literally a spreadsheet, a very sort of Western accounting of things and places. And that's one path that goes all the way to Waikiki Beach, where they went to the ocean and found it by land. They came by land instead of by ocean. On the other side, running parallel but almost separate, is another pathway that includes a Chinook blessing that calls upon the earth and the trees and the water and the animals to teach us and show us the way. And it leads to what Maya describes as the cedar circle. And it is a cedar table that's made of a stump that's older, that's been there since before Lewis and Clark were there. And in many ways, it is the cedar that holds the knowledge of this place. So you have two parallel paths, two parallel perspectives that are a confluence, that are together. It is one history together. And that is, in a sense, how the art brings the story of this place alive and connects you to it in a deep way.
I think Cape Disappointment is another special place to highlight right now. One, because we're in the area.
Right.
But two, because it was the first site that Confluence dedicated. And when people hear the name Maya Lin, they understandably think, oh, this is big. This is important. I'm going to go and have this art experience. And when they arrive, it's something very different.
Subtle.
It's subtle. And it's different than a big art experience. And Maya Lin puts it so well when she explains to people that when it comes to Confluence Project, she has taken the hat of artist and architect off, and she's almost become more of a landscape designer. She's there to help rearrange and help you see the land for the place that it is and the stories that it has. So her installations or the works that she creates are not about her and her impressions and you reacting to that, but she's helping give you a lens or a way to look for the deeper meaning.
I like that explanation. I personally feel like the Estuary Column does not need to be over-explained or over-interpreted with a giant center. I mean, it's also a subtle thing that sneaks up on you. And I think that sometimes we overdevelop things and we have to be very careful and thoughtful about allowing people to have an experience and not overdoing it, over-interpreting it, overbuilding it. So that is a great explanation. And then there's a site in Fort Vancouver, the Sandy River Delta in Troutdale, and then in Pasco. So let's just briefly touch on those.
So the Vancouver Land Bridge, the Fort Vancouver has been there since the Hudson's Bay Company and was a center of commerce and military might for generations. But if you go there now, there's a freeway and there's a railroad track that disconnects the community of Vancouver from the river, and it's there because of the river originally. And so the Vancouver Land Bridge, which Maya Lin inspired and consulted on but didn't design, it was done by an architect named John Paul Jones in Seattle. It is a did I get that right?
And he is the architect of the Museum of the American Indian on the Mall in Washington, D.C.
Okay.
Yeah. So the Vancouver Land Bridge, if you go there, it helps tell the story of the river. It helps tell the story of the place. But more importantly, it connects the community. It allows you to walk from Fort Vancouver to the river itself. Moving on to the Sandy River Delta, she built a bird blind at the end of a 1.2-mile trail. And a bird blind is a place where you can observe nature without disturbing it. But more importantly, that's part of a whole forest restoration project that included the ripping out of some dams and reconfiguring the Sandy River so that it's a new, or rather, it renewed the or restored the old confluence of the Sandy River. So, in Pasco, in the Tri-Cities, at Sacagawea State Park, and I should also mention, all of these places are significant in Native American history as well, along with the Sandy River Delta. But the Sacagawea State Park, what we now know as Sacagawea State Park, is at the confluence of the Snake River and the Columbia River. And it has been a sacred place for Northwest tribes for thousands of years. But it's also right where Lewis and Clark came. They went right by there on their way. And what she built was seven-story circles that are built into the ground and above ground that help tell the story of Lewis and Clark, but also Native tribes. And it's a really special place, and I really encourage anybody to go there.
And if you've just tuned in, you're listening to Talk of Our Towns. I'm your host, Donna Quinn. Today we're talking about the Confluence Project, six public art installations telling the stories, the important and powerful stories of the Columbia River system along 438 miles of the Columbia River. We've just been talking about four of the sites which are complete, and now we're going to talk about two sites which are being completed as we speak, are in the process of. And my guests are Colin Fogarty. He is the director of the Confluence Project, and Courtney Yilk. She is the outreach coordinator. I also have to say I have learned so much just by visiting the website. So the Confluence Project website is Confluence, C-O-N-F-L-U-E-N-C-E, project.org. And if you go to that website, you will learn a lot about the Columbia River system and about this really worthy project. It's essentially almost six mini museums along the Columbia River, which highlight the powerful and important stories which are being told. So, Colin, you have two more projects that you are working on.
That's right. So the project at Chief Timothy Park, I should say, is at the confluence of the Clearwater and Snake Rivers. And if you go there, and it's also known as the Gateway to Hell's Canyon. It's 438 miles from here, but it's still the same river system, and it's still the same journey that Lewis and Clark went on. It's also, again, a place of historical and cultural significance to Northwest tribes. It is a very powerful place. There's a depression in an island, Chief Timothy Island. And what Maya has designed, and we're hoping to finish this fall, is an amphitheater that's in the shape of an ellipse. So and it's based on a blessing ceremony that happened there in 2005, I believe. And it's based on Native American, on Northwest tribes, history and culture and traditions. And then so the sixth site is at, of course, where Celilo Falls used to be. And in many ways, you know, all of these sites are equally significant, but in many ways, the way we like to put the Celilo site is that it's a keystone that brings them all together. And as you know, Celilo Falls was the richest, most productive fishing grounds in North America for 10,000 years.
Which is right outside of the Dalles, Oregon.
That's exactly right. And it was also, you know, considered the Wall Street. It was considered the center of civilization. People from as far as British Columbia and California came to Celilo Falls. It was a very, very significant place. And in 1957, when the Dalles Dam went in, it was inundated. It was flooded. The falls are still there, underwater, and the roar of the falls has been silenced. And if you go there now, there's a park, and there are a few signs that say what happened and what it was all about, but there's nothing that really connects you to that story in a deep and meaningful way. So what Maya Lin has designed is a walkway. And if you imagine, and here's how she puts it, if you imagine the St. Louis Arch, a little smaller and on its side, and that's a walkway that starts in a grassy park and goes over a jetty and takes you to the edge of the water and is reminiscent of traditional tribal fishing platforms. And etched into the planks is the story of Celilo Falls and the silence and the roar that has been silenced. So we're hoping to finish that in 2016.
So, all right, so Celilo Falls is 2016. You've already done four. You have in your final two. And of all the six sites, Celilo is probably the biggest, right? That's the most expensive.
I think the land bridge, because it goes over a freeway. More expensive and maybe a bigger construction project.
Right.
But certainly the one at Celilo is the one that brings them all together. I mean, the way Maya Lin talks about it is that these are all one work of art in six places. And they're not complete until that last one is complete.
Celilo Falls, to me, I've read some of Craig Leslie's work, and other works, which, I mean, that is the heart. Oh, it's so powerful, and it's just. And I was reading an article when I went onto the Confluence Project website, and then I looked at other articles about your organization. And there was an interview with Anton, the Umatilla tribe spokesperson, who said that can art be part of justice? Because when Salado Falls was flooded in 1957, it took away the whole lifestyle of the Native Americans there, and something really important for all of us. So, and he said, yes, art can be part of justice. And so this is a really significant undertaking, the Salado Falls project. And you are also moving in the direction of transforming the Confluence Project itself to become a membership-based organization. And why don't we talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, well, so it's, you know, it's been going on for, you know, 12 years now. And for all that time, we've really been focused on building stuff, on big construction projects, raising a tremendous amount of money to build things and get the bulldozers going. But, you know, we're 2 years away from being done, we hope. And so we are in transition toward toward an organization based more on programming than capital construction projects. And that programming, it's threefold. We have a digital project that we're developing so that there is a website, an interactive, first-person, narrative-based project that you can look at no matter what device you're using. It's got to be in the modern world, whether you've got a phone in your palm or some sort of tablet or whatever. You should be able to hear these stories and see these stories at the site or in your classroom or at home. We also have an education program called Gifts from Our Ancestors, which very simply put connects Native artists and storytellers with K-12 schools so that they can do a project like Maya Lin that connects those students with the history and the culture and the ecology of the Columbia River. And then the third program is what Courtney does, and that is an outreach program, a volunteer program, so that these sites are not just dead. These sites are not just done. They are alive and they are thriving hubs of activity that continually reconnect people with this history.
Courtney, how do you envision the sites, the programming at the sites? I mean, these are not only will they be stunning pieces of artwork where people can stop and just experience that, but there will be actual programs, educational opportunities around these sites, correct?
Yeah, that is the vision, definitely. And it's been lovely because we're finding now as we're sort of slowly coming to the end of the capital campaign and the building, we've got some space to start thinking about how to activate these sites and re-engaging with the communities at each site. And so the beginning of that is, you know, last year we had the fifth anniversaries of the Vancouver Land Bridge and the Sandy River Delta Bird Blind, and it was the perfect opportunity to reconnect with the site stakeholders and the different partners at play there and start working together to find the best ways to make these sites become a richer part of the community and bring in community members to help with stewardship and with events and programming. And with the anniversary of the Cape Disappointment dedication coming up in the next couple of years, we are, you know, now re-engaging or picking up the conversation again. We never said goodbye, but we've just been so focused on the building with Washington State Parks and the great folks over at Cape Disappointment and reaching out to the community there to start trying to lay the groundwork for more integrated and supported stewardship of the Confluence work at Cape Disappointment. But then also we would love some help starting to party plan for the big celebration.
And that's where we're going to come now as we kind of try to wrap this up. We just have a few minutes left, and that is there are opportunities for all of you listening to engage with the Confluence Project. Whether you want to go to the website and push the Donate Now button because the fish cleaning table at Cape Disappointment needs to be re-etched, and so that's a project.
That's right.
Or if you want to engage with Courtney and you want to help plan the party, get involved with party planning, and then eventually you can be a member of the Confluence Project, and then when there are programs, you can be involved in that.
Yeah. So a great way to start would be to go to the website, and you could donate, or you can also sign up for our e-newsletter. And you'll see the button there, and you can send us your email, and we'll start sending you announcements for upcoming events or really big updates for us on funding or just accomplishments that we're making along the way. And that's another wonderful way to become part of the Confluence community.
Oh, and we should mention we, of course, are on Facebook and Twitter and on Instagram as well. You know, when I was interviewed for the job, one of the things that I was asked is, what are you going to do on day one? And I said, start a Twitter account.
These are the times we live in.
That's
it's
right.
true. It's true. These are living history places. These six places are places where you can just immerse yourself into the history of what was and stay connected. And it creates this legacy for the future. So you all must be really excited about this.
Absolutely.
We are. I mean, it really is. And it's true that, you know, there's a tremendous amount of work to do. And you know, it's a tremendous amount of work to build these things. It's also a tremendous amount of work to build this organization. But ultimately, it's about bringing people together and Confluence as a convener to connect people with the history. You know, one of the things, I don't want to portray myself as someone who knows many quotes, there's one quote that I do know. And it is by William Faulkner. And he said, the past isn't dead. It's not even past. And the idea being that it lives with us today in Astoria and in Ilwaco and in communities up and down the coast. You live with history every single day. It surrounds you. You go into a coffee shop and you see it. It is alive. These stories matter today. And this is a way of understanding a way of understanding not just the history, but who we are and what we are today, and to understand the cultures of this region and these communities. It's not just the Anglo culture. It's not just the Native culture. It's all of them together. It's all of our shared history. And of course, the ecology is a way of looking at this Columbia River system in a way and understanding this region in a much more much deeper way. And that's what the Confluence Project ultimately is all about, to connect with a more inclusive history to create a more thoughtful future.
Ooh, I love that. Could you say that one more time?
Our job is in part to connect people with a more inclusive history so that we can together create a more thoughtful future.
Oh, that is so beautiful, Colin. Did you just make this up now?
Not just now, but he did pen it.
He did. He said, all right, we like this. This is excellent.
Oh, excuse
we
me.
Just have about another minute left. Anything, Courtney, you'd like to add to the listening audience? We have about 1 minute.
Oh, no, it's just a pleasure to be here in Astoria today.
Well,
thank
I'm
you.
Excited about this because not only are these are alive, throbbing, beautiful sites, which are not only going to be gorgeous from a perspective of an appreciating art, but also the stories are alive, and what a great way to honor, you know, what has happened there and what is now, what is part of our DNA. I mean, we the land speaks to us. We need to pay attention to these stories. And so congratulations for all the excellent work you're doing. And why don't we tell people one more time the website?
It's www.confluenceproject.org.
And there's a way for you to be involved. You can volunteer at sites. You can help Courtney plan the party at Cape Disappointment. So, please visit this website and
contact us with any questions.
Yes.
info@confluenceproject.org.
info@confluenceproject.org. All right. Thank you to all of you, Maya Lynn, and all of you who are doing such important and good work. You've been listening to Talk of Our Towns, which airs each Wednesday morning. Thank you so much for listening. I appreciate Kathleen Morgane's help and local talented banjo instructor Michael Bruin for his original theme music for this program. Until next week, find a moment for yourself. Today, take a deep breath. With gratitude for all the good things in your life, focus on those things. That will expand them. Focus on feeling good and appreciating yourself, giving yourself a loving and compassionate hug or a pat on the back for being uniquely you, for doing the best you can, and for being here now in this moment, the only moment which exists on the amazing planet we call Earth.